unto you who sits at the right hand of God, be unto you, unto you. Bow before you tonight in the depths of our being, these words, we just cry, yes, yes, yes. Right? Blessing and honor, glory and power, riches and wisdom, all things, it's all yours. We just love you. Pour out our hearts tonight, Lord, in adoration and praise and thanksgiving, Lord, all that we can, all that we are, we just adore you tonight. We worship you, Lord. Just ask that you would be so magnified in this time, so exalted, and Lord, and we just desire to commune with you once more. We've heard your word, and it's precious to us. And Lord, we're back for more. So, Lord, even tonight, as you break bread, as we commune with you, would you just be lifted up and exalted in every heart. We magnify you and we give you thanks, Lord. Just help me to get out of the way and to pray that you'd bring each one of us into a channel with you, into a place with you of communion and fellowship. And Lord, that you would just meet every need that we have, Lord. Tired bodies, broken hearts, Lord, sickness, whatever it is, Lord, you're the cure, you're the answer. So good to us. Again, we just commit ourselves now in this evening into your hands. Ask you to bless this time now. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You'd be seated, I guess, for a minute. God bless you all. Thank you so much, musicians. Always wonderful. How's everybody? All is well. Oh my goodness. Is the Lord faithful? Is he very, very present? I love that. That's so true. We find that to be the reality of very. I like that the scripture, you know, says that very present help in time of trouble. Not just present, but very present. So, Sister Chrissy, I'm so sorry. Good to see you again. God bless you. So, passing back through, I take it on the way back home, right? Yeah. Hope you've had a good time. Good to see you guys again. So, and everyone here tonight. So, just have a thought of my heart tonight. I hope it's a blessing and just some things I've been kind of savoring and meditating on my heart. And, you know, I think we'll, in some ways, we'll get into a little bit of an avenue of, or an aspect of just this day that we live in the greatest battle ever fought. It's going on up here. And we know the bride, we know we've every age, every believer, every son, every daughter's got to be tested. And we can go right back to the very beginning. And how was Eve tested? She listened. There was another voice that came along that spoke to her. So every one of us is going to be tested, and we know the bride's going to have to, she will overcome. We're ordained to overcome. But we just want to look into some scriptures and things, and just hopefully this is something that maybe stimulates, encourages, and helps us all. All right. Well, I just had you sit down. I guess I'll have you stand right back up. I'm sorry. We'll open up with scripture, maybe two scriptures here. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. All right. Just verse 1. says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And we know there's a direct correlation. Who has believed our report? Alpha, Omega, in this day. Who has believed the report in this day? And now just back a little bit to Proverbs 14. Right. And just again, just one verse there as well. It says, a true witness, 14 verse 25. Thank you, Philip. A true witness delivereth souls. Think of that. So the power, reality of the life behind a true word, a true witness, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. You can be seated. And let's just kind of hold that verse, these verses, as we go forward. I want us to remember them, and I'll refer back to them, but I want to just share tonight on a true and a false witness, a true report and an evil report. And then I think so much, especially for really all of us, but the young people, especially growing up in this day and this age of so much just information constantly bombarding us. So many voices, even as the prophet talked about, so many voices, so many spirits, so many things that we have to contend with. And, there's even the term disinformation, misinformation, all this. It's everything is just so perverted, so scattered. It's such, it's just what a day, what a time. But how critical it is for us as believers in this hour and to know what is truth and what is a lie. So just stop right there, kids, especially. What is the truth? What is a lie? Because we're speaking on a true witness, a false witness, a true report, and an evil report. We know 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that we are to take every thought captive. Every thought. That sometimes seems impossible, but he makes a way, and he calls us to do just that, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We can see from the very beginning, God spoke his word. He spoke to Adam and Eve in the beginning in the garden. It wasn't too long, there came another fellow right behind and spoke as well. So again, two voices. And we know his tactic is always what? Reasoning. Reason. Isn't this reasonable? You will not surely die. He just injected that one word, added that one word, caused everything, all the death and chaos ever since then. So it's been that way ever since, that warfare. And I just want to, again, savor a couple of these things or dwell on them as we move into this. Mark 4:24, I'll quote some of these, but you want to take notes or just listen. Mark 4:24 tells us to take heed what you hear. And Luke 8:18 says, take heed therefore how you hear. So we need to be very cautious, very careful, very discerning in this hour, in this time, because there is, again, so many voices, but there's only one true voice, one true report, one true witness. And just to kind of continue this, I know we've been over this recently, so this should be familiar to us, but I've been just struck by this, and I've been savoring it and holding it, and it's in that message, oneness, where Brother Branham talks about the fellowship that was broken between Adam and Eve and between God in the beginning, how Satan, again, interrupted that fellowship. He sowed a seed. He altered that fellowship between them. And he's talking about here, he says, then as soon as the fellowship was broke between Adam and Eve, as soon as their fellowship was broke between God and them, then their fellowship between each other was broke. And he goes on, he's talking about denominations and churches interrupting that true fellowship. And then he says, this is so striking to me. And again, just showing you how powerful a thought, a word, a wrong word is. He says, what her thinking changed. Eve, Speaking of Eve, her thinking changed. He says her fellowship with her husband wasn't right. They begin to pass the buck. See, her thinking was actually changed. Why? She had the life of the devil in her. That's awesome. Incredible. He says, exactly. As soon as she disbelieved God's word, listen, kids, that's it. Our mind, it's that womb. As soon as she disbelieved God's word, she accepted the life of the devil because he accepted his teaching. You can see the connection between teaching and life. Whose life did she have? Whose teaching was she listening to? Be careful how you hear. That's in oneness. So just put me into, just again, been thinking on these things, meditating on these things, and so struck, been kind of heavy on my heart. And if we would, let's turn back to the Old Testament, because then there's another passage. Again, I've been kind of dwelling on this a bit lately. Numbers 13, we know this very well, but we can draw just some more lessons, some things to really ponder and think about carefully. In this Numbers chapter 13, we'll start with, we'll kind of drop in. So they're searching out the land. He sends the spies out. Let's drop in verse 25. It says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. Verse 30, I love it. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Wow. What a different vision, different thinking, different heart. He says, we are well able to overcome it. But then look, verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights. Our own sight is grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So just so striking to look at that, and again in verse 32 there where it says they brought up an evil report. And we want to talk about truth. What is truth? A true witness, a false witness, truth, and a lie. And that evil report, if you think about it, was that report factual? They're describing what they saw. You could say, well, sure, they're just saying the things, and it just is what it is. But it's in God's eyes, that was an evil report. Why? It was contrary to what God said. So that is the true reality. That's the true report, what God has said. And so we could simply say that what is truth? And we'll get into that more, but it's eternity. It's God. It's his word. And his thoughts and his word, that stands and that will prevail and that's eternal. Everything else will pass away and it's not. So, you know, that it's interesting because that word there for evil report is defame. It's actually slander. And so I thought that was just real interesting because we've all seen or heard. We know there's so much in this day. It's nothing new coming up that's contrary. So much slander, an evil report that's contrary to what God has said. And I also think it's so neat and just interesting in that little picture there. There was how many spies? There was 10. 10 that gave an evil report. Conscious, memory, affection, reasoning. See, there you go. You've got your 5 natural senses. You've got your 5 spiritual senses. That's 10. So 10 spies that gave an evil report. Be careful how you hear, brothers and sisters. Be careful what you hear. We know, and I'm going to actually, we'll just have, I'm going to, let's see, engage the kids a little bit. Christian, you ready? Do you, or Noah, somebody who's got their Bibles? Christian came from work, I think. Seth. Sweet thing. There you go. All right. Somebody turned to John 14:6, kiddos, and then another one turned to Romans 3:4, and then one more. I'll just have you just a couple of you. Another to Revelations 3:14. But we know this question even. What is truth? If we turn to, well, we don't have to turn there, but we know Jesus standing before Pilate, he said that very question. He asked, what is truth? And my goodness, how much more today is that people, I don't think, even have a sense. So, all right, let's go ahead and go into that, John 14:6. Amen, amen. Thank you. So, what is truth? Who is truth? Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Amen. All right, next one, Romans 3:4. Who has that? Seth, please. Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Let God be true. Amen. But every man a liar. So again, do you see our testing? Do you see what we are facing in this hour? And each one of us in this battleground of the mind, discerning these voices, these things that are contrary to us in this day. There's so much. And yet you, with the gene of God in you, are what? You are an expressed thought attribute of God. So you have a receiver that can pick up that transmitter that knows, hey, this is true and everything else is a lie. And doesn't matter if everybody around you goes in different directions. You are called, you are drawn, you are magnetized to that voice because you're a part of it. You're a part of him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's just go to, turn with me to John. I'm sorry, one more. Who had Revelations 3:14? Hey, you guys are great. Thank you. Amen. So he is the true witness. He is the truth. Amen. All right, let's continue on. We're going to thank you guys so much. You did great. All right, we'll continue on with a few more. Turn with me to John chapter 5. Just a few different passages here, then we can see that are... All right. I think this is so striking. Jesus says here, we'll just start in verse 30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I received not the testimony from man. These things I say, that you may be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to do, The same works I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. There it is again. Don't you see this pattern? You've never heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. Here you go. For whom he hath sent him, you believe not. Again, there's that voice echoing. There's something that's magnetized, something that you're attracted to, drawn to. I love these things. A true witness. A true report. Amen. Also in John, let's just turn over a couple chapters. Chapter 8, verse 39. All right, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man which has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, here you go, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he is the source of all lies. We looked at what is truth, and that's Jesus. We looked at, you know, Satan is the source, the father of all lies. And he's absolutely busy. And he's also had many years of practice at this point. So he's pretty good at his tactics. But the bride won't be deceived. The elect won't be deceived. We know that. So you'll say, listen, I don't care what anybody else says. And every one of us has to come into that place where I am so sure of him, of his word, of where I stand. I don't care what anybody else says. It doesn't matter. We know the truth. We've heard the truth. We love the truth. And I'm moving on. I hope you can come with me. I hope you go with me. But this is it, and it's the truth. And so each one of us, again, has to come into that place. But I think we're, again, living in this time, this hour, where there is so much deception, so much wrong information, so many lies, but there's one truth, one voice, a true report, and we're of him, we're from him. That's why we can hear and receive these things. I love in John, I'm just going to quote this one in John. Also in John chapter 7, Jesus said unto them, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So again, this kind of the thought here being a true witness, and Jesus was that, he is that. He said, he that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. I think it's that last verse, 18, in the West, I love this. He who is speaking from himself as a source. So you talk about a true witness. Or a false witness. The one who is speaking from himself as a source is seeking his own private glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, this one is true. And unrighteousness in him is not. So just breaking this down, I know this is real simple. I hope this is a blessing, maybe helpful for you. The false witness, in as we look into that in the scriptures, it's simply a bearer of untrue testimony. So again, I'll go back to the beginning. Be careful how you hear. Be careful what you hear. Take every thought captive and remember the original war in the beginning started with sowing seed right here. What she heard, what the devil was speaking. Be mindful of these things. This is from the message, Proving His Word. Let's see here. And really what he's talking about, this, I won't read this all maybe, but he's just talking about how the enemy constantly comes in and counters what God says, contradicts the word. And he says, you know, he's talking about like the ministers. He says, Satan will promise you, he'll make you the best minister in the association. He'll give you front seat in every church, make you a deacon, all this. He says, notice, he's talking about just, again, Satan countering Jesus. He says he promised to give him all the kingdoms of the, he could take them. He was trying to get him to break the word because he knew that he had him right there in, had him right there if he could. He made Moses break it. He made Eve break it. But he hit the wrong guy this time. Why? He was the Word. He didn't know it. And he didn't know it. He says he was the Word himself. See, let me just move on here. He says, again, coming to Eve, he says, oh, surely you won't die. See, that's nonsense. That's some old fogey idea. Don't believe none. But God said so. He sticks with his word. God said so. God proved it's right, and he's proving it right now. People are dying in this minute. He still proves it right. He says, notice he come to Moses. He says, Moses, you know you got a hothead. You're high-tempered. Look at the bunch of renegades, what they've done. Why don't you just go down there and tell them? So he's talking about Satan countering, Satan punching Satan. But when it came to Jesus, he hit this 10,000 line volt line. He said it singed his feathers, and he run up against him. He said, oh, listen, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. He said, it is written. He said, if thou be the Son of God. I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping around in this. I apologize. Let's just drop in. Hopefully, pay attention now if I lost you. Satan talking to Jesus said, if thou be the Son of God. See, he always doubted. Now listen to this. He always doubted it. Watch this. He still teaches others to doubt it. He taught Eve to doubt it, taught Moses. He taught all of them to try to doubt it. He's teaching, now listen to this. He said he's teaching you to try to doubt it. And you that's sitting right here now, if you want me to call your names, it's been Satan's been trying a long time to get you to doubt me. Don't do that, sister. So he's right there discerning somebody in the crowd. Satan's working on her, trying to speak to her conscience, trying to get her to doubt, disbelieve. He's trying to teach you to doubt it. He says he's been working on you a long time to try to get you to doubt me. Don't do that, Satan. Just believe his word. You don't have to believe me, but believe this. If I say the word, it's not mine, it's his. Wow, talk about a confrontation right there in the spirit realm. Watch, be careful, listen. Watch what's coming into your noggin. Where is it coming from? Who put it there? Be careful how you hear. Many, many, many are going to rise up and they can say things contrary, and they do. We know that. But you have that peace, that anchor, that assurance. I know that voice. I know my Lord. Nothing can move me. And each one of us has to be in that place, anchored, settled. I don't care what anybody else says and does. This is it. All right, let's move on. He says here in questions and answers. Now, kind of a similar thing here. He's just talking about how Jesus, Peter had the revelation upon this rock. Thou art the Christ. Jesus says, upon this rock I'll build my church. And then what was right after that? What came right after that? So he's touching on the same thing here. He says, I found this around the world. If you'll be absolutely straight and sincere, the more people appreciate you. He says, just lay it down. Jesus, he loved the people. He gave his life there for those Pharisees that were crucifying. Isn't that awesome? I pray those things never get familiar or too common to us. He prayed for their forgiveness. But yet he said, you generation of vipers, snakes in the grass, and so forth like that. He wasn't exactly talking to the human being. Now here we go. He wasn't exactly, so we got to catch the spirit and discern these things. He wasn't exactly talking about to the human being. It was a spirit. I look at Peter, come behind him. He said, oh, Lord, you can't do that. He turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. See, he wasn't speaking to the apostle. He was the fountain of truth. And it was the spirit that was on that apostle that was making him say that. He wasn't speaking to Peter. He loved him. He loved him. And he knew he was to be the head of the church, but he was going to speak back to Peter. He was speaking to the spirit that was causing Peter to hinder the works of God. So you can see in our own reasoning and all these things how it comes into play. You know that's contrary to the word. What is truth? It's the word. It's Jesus. Anything contrary? Let it be a lie. You know, look at so many examples we can take just down through the scriptures and through history. Look at, you know, Abraham, for example. You're going to have a baby. You could say at their 90 and 100, they could have gone in for a checkup and the doctor could have proved scientifically, this is impossible. You're right. And Abraham said he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. So medically, scientifically, is that truth? No. You could say medically and scientifically, we could prove that this is not possible. God's word said otherwise. So that is the truth, and that is the truth alone. I look at Noah. I know Brother Bram talks about the same thing with the rain coming down, and they could prove with all their instruments that they had in that time that there was no rain up there. Again, scientifically, this appears to be fact. This is nonsense, this stuff. But it was contrary to God's word. God's word said it will rain. And there it was. So you have this battle between what may appear to be factual, but is not true, because God didn't say it. So that's where we stand. Jonah 2:8, I'll just quote this, but it says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That's pretty amazing. You know, think of Jonah. Think of being in that belly, the fish. Was that real? They that forsake lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There's something greater, something much, much more real than that he looked to, that by which he overcame. So we're called to do the same thing. Look away from these other voices, these other things. There's one truth, one reality. That's God and his word. We are being proved. We're being tested right now. Every one of us, I believe that. Again, be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear. All right, let's move on a little bit. I just have a couple more here, and then we're winding up. Well, this is something we've kind of, these words should be familiar to us, but I just love the way he puts it here. Genesis, God told Adam and Eve what would happen when they disbelieved his word. Now he put right and wrong before them, and he said, the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. And God meant it just exactly what he said. He always does. He means what he says. Now listen to this. Satan led her to disbelieve it. For Satan himself never did believe it. So you look at, okay, what is the true source of faith? It's God. What is the true source, the origination of unbelief? It's Satan. Where does that come from? Satan himself never did believe it. He don't believe it, so he led her to disbelieve it, and he still does the same thing and teaches others the same. And they disbelieve it like she did. God fortified his people behind his word. That's your only defense. The word is your defense, your only defense. Not your denomination, not your father, not your mother. It's all right, but behind God's word. That's the place that the believer is protected, behind the word. When that little avenue was broken there with a little bit of, watch this now, a little bit of, wonder if it's right or not. Ooh, he's sneaky. He just sneaks in a little bit of that. Maybe, watch that, pay attention. Oh, I wonder if it's right or not. It wouldn't. See, reasoning come in and took the place of faith. They broke the bars, and God kept his word. He performed it. Satan tried to get her to disbelieve. And he just goes on here. Just bear with me a minute. He says, don't reason it. He says, when God says anything, just the way he said it, that's the thing to do. Well, watch those ones too. Watch those words. I think. What does he say next? You don't have no thought coming. Oh, yeah. And you know what? As a believer, you say, amen, and that just gives me rest, peace, right there. I have no thought coming. Hallelujah. I have no thought coming. He says, let the mind that was in Christ be in you, and Christ is the word. Let the word be in you. All other words be wrong. Christ's words is right. Others believe him and all his reasons, and like she did, she reasoned, well, why would God do this? This isn't just as good as that. If it's contrary to the word, it's not. So anything, any teacher, here we go, Bible expositor, if I can say that, anything else that would teach you to try to believe anything one little iota different from what this Bible says, it's false teaching. There we go, false teaching. False witness, false report, an evil report. Was that evil report, again, was it factual? Was it, could they have their charts? You know, let's bring this to present day. Was there evil report? Did they have spreadsheets and websites and all kinds of facts and data? You better believe they did. Still an evil report. It was contrary to God's word. Let God's word be true and every man a liar. Amen. So he says, just finishing this up, he says it's anything one little iota different from what the Bible says, it's false teaching. It's Satan again, just exactly like it was to Eve. God goes right on no matter what he does, what Satan does. God goes right on proving it to be so. Amen. Now look at what he says. Look at what he said to Eve. Surely you will not die. You'll be wise. That's what the world's looking for today. Scientific proof, some knowledge of a man. Amen. He said, surely you'll not die. And God said, you will die. And he proved it. We can see it. He meant what he said. Go up to the graveyard and you'll know if he meant it or not. The day you eat thereof, the day you die. So anyway, you get the point there. Just again, stay with the word. What is truth? Kids, what is truth? Who is truth? Jesus, his word. Anything contrary to that is a lie. All right, just one more in closing, maybe. Just turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. So much more we could look at, but we'll get in a few little. I like this because to me, I think, you know, what, talk about a true witness, a true report. What is it? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. But that life was manifested, Alpha and Omega, present tense. A life was manifested. We have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which is with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we've seen and heard. Here we go. The gene, I love Brother Bram. He says in one place, he says, the soul of God, that part of you that's part of him, that's from eternity, this word echoes, it resonates. Ah, yes. It doesn't matter what anybody else hears and says and does. I've heard it. It rings true. That which we've seen and heard, can you say that? That we declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Isn't that rich? A true witness, a good report. Eternity, the word of God coming into this dimension, into the soul, into the heart of his children. That is your good report. Everything else, anything contrary, is a lie. As we know, Satan is the father of lies. All right. Hopefully that was a blessing. It made sense. It was helpful. Just, again, things I've been kind of just dwelling on, meditating on. I think, again, that looking at the spies and that evil report really struck me. And then, of course, that Jesus in Mark 4:24, again, take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. Who are you listening to? Kids, be very careful. Pay attention. Who and what you listen to. There's one voice that is true. And anything contrary to that is a lie. One voice, one truth. Amen. All right, musicians, if you would come. I was just thinking, this is the air that I breathe. Your word, every word spoken to me. To me, and I can't live without it. Isn't that the truth? All right, if you'd just stand with me, let's worship the Lord tonight. We can start it if you want. We can. The air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. Your every word spoken to me. Tonight we express these words from the depths of our heart. Truly, you are the air that we breathe. It's even as you said in your word, Lord, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, we have tasted, we have taken your word in. It satisfies us. And Lord, even if we maybe can't explain it to others or Lord, we know it's true. We know it's ours. We know it's a part of us, and we're a part of it. Lord, by your grace, we can stand in this hour with the faith you've given to us, the word you've given to us, and look right in the eyes of the entire world and say, Lord, this is it. This is the truth. Though there be false witnesses, though there be slander, though there be other voices, Lord, we've heard the true one. We love it. We love you, Lord. Just pray tonight from the hearts of every one of your children that you would receive that love and praise and adoration. Keep us anchored, keep us centered, keep our eyes fixed on you, and may this word just continue to unfold. May we continue to fall in love with it more every day, Lord. It's full of life. We're experiencing that. It's so full of life. Continuing to unfold itself, continuing to break open and just with great realities and things we're seeing new every day, Lord. It's so beautiful. Bless your name, Lord. We just commit ourselves now, Lord, the remainder of our evening into your hands as you go with us. Direct us, protect us, Lord. We continue to bring up all the different burdens, the needs, and all of our cares to you, Lord. Trusting in you, Lord, we can say with all of our hearts, your grace is sufficient, Lord. You are enough. We have not lacked anything. So we're trusting to, as we go forward, that will continue to be the case. We will not lack anything. You are enough. Keep our hands yours and our eyes fixed on you, we pray. Ask this all in Jesus Christ's name.